and you will make a decision about who is holding these most powerful positions that will chart the course of Georgian families and families all around our country. So I'm here to thank you on behalf of Joe and myself for what you did in November, and I'm here to ask you to do it again. And I'm just gonna remind us all. You know, these are moments when we see these great challenges that do challenge also our faith. And it requires us to dig deep. And it requires us to also see in our hearts and in our minds what is possible, what can be, unburdened by what has been. And this is one of those moments. And this moment, Savannah, this moment will pass. And years from now, our children, our grandchildren, and others, they will look in our eyes, each one of us, and they will ask us, where were you at that moment? And what I know is that we will be able to respond by telling them so much more than just how we felt at this moment. We will tell them what we did. We will tell them what we did. We will tell them we were hanging out at the Garden City Stadium with Kamala and John and Raphael. We will tell them, we told everybody we knew what is at stake, that we didn't stop calling them and emailing them and texting them till they got tired of us, but we knew they'd get over it. We will tell them we helped folks who hadn't yet turned in their ballot to not put it in the mailbox, but to take it and drop it off. We will tell them, vote, because your life depends on it. And we will tell them that's how we elected Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff to the United States Senate. Thank you.
First things for a December? No, I keep forgetting where we are, David, because it's all jumbled together. First things for a January 5th, 2021. How could I forget what day it is? It's election day in Georgia. Good morning.
Good morning. And I will definitely not ever forget what day of the year it is, because this, Steve, is the 30th wedding anniversary for my wife and me. Amazing. I mean, 30 years. I mean, I'm only 40 years old.
Yeah, so it's amazing. You guys. Okay? Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, 30 years. So I woke up this morning, as they said in the movement, they had a song, woke up this morning with my mind on freedom, and woke up this morning with my eyes on appreciation, gratitude for that, these years with Lisa. And she had a card for me, plus four bags of Nestle Crunch candy. Okay. speak in my love language. And also, I, of course, just so we're all clear, I had a card for her, but I did not have four bags of candy, because she doesn't eat the same amount of candy as I do. But I wouldn't forget it, because today's the day. We did both forget it once together, like 10 years ago or something, both forgot it. But hey, today.
That's when you were still raising your kids and they were younger then, right? And that all takes up your energy and your time.
Yeah. Today falls, of course, on another momentous day, one that is probably more known for most Americans, the Georgia runoff elections. And that was Senator, soon-to-be Vice President Kamala Harris, speaking in Savannah, Georgia, on Sunday at a rally there in that part of the state to get out people to vote for John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock. It's here. We're here. We've been working for since really about November 10th or 11th or 12th at Common Power. We've been making phone calls and texts and postcards. We've been doing it, as she said, what we did. That is the that is a core component of Common Power is our action. We're an action organization. And so we've given it all we've got. And today we do three phone banks as well. This is it. And, you know, election days are actually not days I love, the day of, not days I love, because there's nothing, not a lot that you can do except try to get others to get out to vote. So today I'm just kind of like trying to focus on the sun is rising somewhere and it's getting a little brighter here in Seattle. And we have given it everything we've got. And those in Georgia, more importantly, have given it everything they've got for this control of the Senate set of elections.
You want to make any? No, I don't want you to make any predictions. That would be too hard. Three phone banks. So there, you expect that we'll be calling up folks and they'll be saying, what? I'm supposed to vote today?
You know, so I guess the analogy to me is like when my son says something like, hey, so-and-so, a musical artist that he likes, dropped an album last night at midnight. And he's like, I had to stay up to listen to it. And I'll be like, I've never heard of that artist. Okay. And B, they drop albums at midnight. And C, dropping an album. What exactly does dropping mean? Does that mean like releasing it, putting it out in the public? And D, you can listen to these things right off the bat. You don't have to, you know, what do you do? He's like, oh, of course you just get these things off of iTunes or whatever. You pay for them. I'm like, wow. So the analogy I'm drawing here is that there is a universe of people who are not dialed in on a daily basis to a part of life. And this is the politics of our day. And it's not that these folks don't care or that they're unintelligent. It's that they have other parts of their life that have more relevance to them on a daily basis and occupy their time. Like me and my wife forgetting our anniversary years ago. There are just other things that are there. And so there are people in Georgia today who A, will not be familiar with the election, or B, will not think it's that big a deal that they go out and vote. And maybe, just maybe, somebody calling them, telling them, hey, here's how you can get a ride to the polls, or here's where you go to vote, or C, hey, I care enough about this election that I'm asking you to please, please vote. That might move people along to vote. And, you know, we get about 2/3 of our electorate turns out, of our registered voters turn out to vote in a presidential year. This year, out of our, this runoff election in Georgia, we might get more about like 60% of the registered voters. And overall, when you look at everybody who's eligible to vote, you don't just take into account registered voters. It's really more along the lines of about 55% of all people who could possibly vote in Georgia at this time. So yeah, you know, it's the same reason that people run ads on TV for pizza during sporting events because they figure like, you know, maybe you're hungry right now and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm hungry. And I don't feel like making something, so I'm going to order a pizza. That's what we're trying to do, is get pizza people to order their vote.
And as we heard Senator Harris say, don't drop it in the mail. Go down and drop it in a box now. This is the day of. Are there any predictions or expectations for what today will look like and what the lines may look like and how long the voting polls, the polls will remain open?
Sure. So today, as of last night, the Secretary of State's, Georgia Secretary of State's website, which keeps daily tallies on who's, how many people voted, there were almost 3.1 million. It's like 3,090,000 people have voted. 5 million 4.97 million voted in the general election. So we're some distance from that, but we would expect it to be less than the general election. Today, because the Democratic turnout has been very good so far in this election, in the runoff election, better than certainly any runoff election previously. Today, in order for the Republicans to win, they're going to need a very big turnout, and they're also going to need to win by a large number, the folks who do turn out. So they need, a benchmark would be they need 1 million voters today to turn out to vote. The general election turnout on election day was 915,000. So it's doable for sure. But if the turnout is lower than the runoff election, which it has been so far, we might not expect that number to hit over the general election. But let's just set the benchmark. They need about 1 million votes to come out today, and they need to win those 1 million votes by probably 63 to 37%, which is a high mark to get in any kind of moment when you're talking about a statewide vote. If you're talking about a particular congressional district, sure, you can hit like 70 or 80% in one district. But statewide, that's a tough mark. On election day in the general election in Georgia, as I said, 915,000 people turned out to vote, and they voted for Donald Trump, 60 to 38 on election day. So they need to do more people, and they need to do a better margin for the Republicans to win today. Everybody, all the analysts who I put stock in, say the Dems have the lead. They have a good advantage going into the election day, but it's doable. It is doable for the Republicans if they have a massive turnout. And we've seen that happen during the Trump presidency, but we haven't seen it happen when Trump's not on the ballot. So today's a big test of that.
Yeah. And as Stacey Abrams posted in a Twitter feed, they still have to do the work. They still have to do the counting. It'll take a little bit to figure out who's the winner and who's the loser in this run, these runoffs.
Absolutely. It will take a couple days. Barring something really surprising in terms of the results today, it will take a couple days to get clarity around who's ahead and what the who exactly looks like they're going to have this one on each of the elections. So the reality is that it's close, and the fact that it's close in Georgia means it's already a win. For us, I want the real wins. I want the election wins. I want to see Warnock and Ossoff win for what it means for America and for Georgia. But I also am a realist, and I know that getting to this moment today, where we have a very good chance, not a slam dunk, not a guarantee, but a good chance in Georgia, is really remarkable. It's the culmination of a long set of hours and years of work by people there, and then increasingly by people from around the country to get us here. Years and years of work. And we've talked about this on the podcast over time. And I think that part of the reason Donald Trump is so obsessed with Georgia, because he's not obsessed with the other states in the same way. He is angry and keeps making claims about Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin, but he is obsessed with Georgia. And I think it's indicative of the fact of just how stunning it is what's been achieved by the Democrats in Georgia. It is the only state in the election, in the contiguous U.S., the continental U.S., that voted blue at the presidential level and is not touching any other blue states. It is completely surrounded by red states. It's an island of blue at the presidential level in a ocean of red. There's no other state at the presidential level that voted for Biden and Harris that isn't also touching another blue state. And so there just is this inability for Trump at all to believe that this was possible. So that's a stunning thing, Steve, that is not only possible, it happened, and that this is possible today, Warnock and us off. This would be a monumental paradigm shift if this occurred.
It's exciting. Now I have a question that I haven't yet looked up. You must know the answer. If we're not going to know who's the senator, who are the senators from Georgia for a couple of days, and tomorrow the Senate convenes to try to the Republicans try to overturn the election and the rest of the Senate do their job, who represents Georgia in the Senate tomorrow?
Sure. I'll answer that in a second. Quick aside, I'm looking off in there's a beautiful sunrise this morning. There is a pinkish, you know, those pinkish, yellowish kind of sunrises when you're like, okay, the world is going to survive kind of sunsets. And this is just spectacular off to the east. Wow. Metaphor, symbolism.
Sure.
I'm taking it. I'm claiming it. I'm claiming it. The answer to your question is that there are two Republicans right on the ballot here. One is Kelly Loeffler and one is David Perdue. These are different elections. The Loeffler election is a special election, which is not on the regular timeline of Loeffler. She was appointed in 2018 or 19 to fill the rest of Johnny Isaacson's seat. And Isaacson is not scheduled. That seat was not scheduled for its regular election moment until 2022.
So but it's she was sworn in with the rest of the new Senate. That's the new Congress the other day.
Right. She's in the Senate still until this election is certified, probably 10 days from now. So she is there. She is there until this Senate election comes out. And then she'll either be elected, because she's only been appointed so far. She'll either be elected or she will be out. For Perdue, it was his regular election cycle this year. So that means Perdue's seat is open right now. There's nobody in that seat. It's an open seat. So right now the Republicans have 51 seats that they hold in the Senate. And Perdue's seat is open until somebody gets sworn into it when these votes get certified. So he has no vote tomorrow. He has said that he would, you know, support the president and oppose or object to the Electoral College numbers. He has said that, but it means nothing. You know, he can say anything he wants. Loeffler yesterday announced literally hours before the president came to Georgia that she would object to the Electoral College. She really had no other choice. There's nothing else that she could do if she wanted any chance to get out Trump voters today. So that's a craven political decision right there that is consistent with a series of things that she has done over time. So she is going to object tomorrow. She is one of 13 Republican senators who have said that they will object to the Electoral College.
It's 13 now. Who else joined in the last couple of days?
So Josh Hawley started this. He was the first to speak out, Missouri senator. He's won. Then 11 senators are on the letter that's been spearheaded by Ted Cruz. That's 12, and Loeffler's 13. So this is what's stunning, is that Loeffler is prepared to overthrow, to object to the certified votes in Georgia that have been certified by fellow Republicans in the governor's state and the governor's seat in the Secretary of State's office. She is going to object to those votes for the people that she represents. She's going to object to them tomorrow. And she's asking them today and for the last 2 months to vote for her. It's a contradiction that is breathtaking and is so disingenuous as to be something that we will never forget. We will never, ever forget what they've done and what they're doing in order to provide the power to their president who has been defeated in this election. So Loeffler's asking for those votes from people who she wants to throw out their votes. It's a moment today and tomorrow. Steve, it's a moment, man. You know, you read the history books and you think back to, like, there was this vote in the Congress in 1964 for the Civil Rights Act, in 1965 for the Voting Rights Act, or you see a vote in the Supreme Court around Brown v. Board of Education 9-0, or on the Affordable Care Act in 2013, 2014, can't remember when the Roberts put his vote, and when it went 5-4 to support the Affordable Care Act individual mandate. These are moments, these are historical moments that define the arc of this country and democracy. And this is that moment in Georgia. And holy crap, I'm thankful that the sun's coming up, because you just don't know on a day like this.
Oh, let's hope that the sun still revolves. Let's hope the earth still revolves around the sun on days like this.
And you almost went QAnon right there, baby. All right, with the
I was going to say the sun revolves around in the universe, but you're right, around the galaxy. But you're right. I was going QAnon. Well, I'm not sure. I haven't seen it. I mean, I stand in one place and the sun comes up, the sun goes down. Seems to me the sun's moving. So maybe the people that don't believe differently need to be thrown off the tower in Italy.
I think you're right. I mean, what's your basis? What kind of evidence do I have? What evidence do I have, Steve, that the earth actually revolves around the sun? I don't have any evidence of that personally. None.
Yeah, you have none. Well, that's what those people are saying in Georgia and everywhere else. They're saying, well, it's not my vote that's getting tossed out. It's those other people's votes who voted illegally. They're the ones whose votes are getting tossed out, not mine.
Exactly. And I'm so sure of it, but I can't prove any evidence of it. There was a great clip. My mask went on for a moment there. There was a great clip on the Lou Dobbs show, our pal Lou, from a couple days ago. I think it was Friday or Saturday, where he asked, who was he asking? It was somebody. It was a high profile somebody. And he said, why is it that 8 weeks after the election, we cannot provide the evidence of these votes being fraudulent? Why are we having such a hard time with this? And he was blaming the person for not being able to show the evidence. He wasn't arguing that there wasn't evidence. He was blaming them. You got a problem. Why can't you come up with the evidence? And that's the self-own that we're talking about here, right?
Yeah.
Why can't we? Where's the evidence? The argument is not, the conclusion is not that the evidence is not there. The conclusion is that people are failing to produce it or to listen to it. Look, we have been fighting for 4+ years in this country to turn the ship around since Donald Trump got elected. And we are responsible for not having been more engaged, more methodologically adept in terms of how we act in 2016. But that's not the case anymore. In 2020, 2021, we are engaged, we are alert, we are mobilized, we are partnered, we are on the right track. We does not mean we will win in Georgia tonight or tomorrow, but it does mean that we're on the right track. And tomorrow in the Congress, however it shakes down, the president and vice president-elect are going to be affirmed as the next president and vice president. And we have a hell of a lot of work to do after that. And the Republican Party is in a big mess. And we want to fight for voting justice. So thank you, everybody who's gotten us here. We've gotten here. We are able to say, as Senator Harris said in Savannah on Sunday, this is what we've done. What we've done. Doesn't guarantee anything, but it does give us a chance. And that's what we do in a democracy, is you fight for the chance. So I'm nervous today because I care, of course, about this outcome, but I'm not despairing about what the future holds. I believe that the sun is rising. I believe that the earth does revolve around the sun. I believe that if we engage in our democracy, we do make a difference. Not we can make a difference. The reality is we do make a difference. So thanks, everybody. Let's pay attention to results, give them time to receive the count of votes. And then tomorrow, stand strong in the midst of the absurdity in the Congress, and know that we're coming out the other side of this one way or another.